Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special Capaccio for you, right?
Oh, yes. Now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, Carpaccio, no good?
What? What do you do now?
They don't like a Carpaccio.
They like Capaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a Capaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
Sal Capaccio joining us in studio. Draft day. Bills drafting in Nashville. Going to find out who's going to be where, who goes there, who stays here, all that good stuff. Round one, 8 o'clock tonight. John Murphy, Steve Tasker, and Sal will be on the air here on our station. Ben Roethlisberger gets a two-year extension for $68 million. Jacques Martin, the leading candidate for the Sabres coaching position, according to Darren Dreger and John Shannon as well. Carolina beats Washington in double overtime. Brock McGinn, the game-winning goal. Carolina moving on to play the Islanders. The Blue Jackets and Bruins play tonight, 7 o'clock. Dallas, St. Louis at 9:30. The Amerks lose to Toronto 3-1, swept 3-0 in the series. But Sheldon Keefe, head coach of the Marlies, said that in his press conference, he opened up pointing out that Rochester was built to win a Calder Cup and the Marlies were lucky to escape.
Okay.
Said that the first two games of that series, here's his quote.
They're outshot, outplayed.
Look back on those first two games especially. They gave us all we could handle. That could have gone entirely different. We got great goaltending and lots of luck. Hats off to them. It's a great hockey team. It's a really good hockey team that's built to win the Calder Cup this year and had full expectation that they were going to do so. Swept. First round. Out. Those are your sports headlines. Next update on the way. Bottom of the hour.
Sal's here in studio. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm actually here to announce my presidential campaign for 2020.
Oh.
Hashtag Sal2020. I think that's what we should go with.
What do you think?
Awesome.
What are you running on? What's your big issue?
My platform is just love dogs. That's it. Love dogs.
You got my vote.
I knew that I would get the first vote right here from you.
Yes,
that's why.
You got mine.
That's very controversial.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know.
Love dogs? Okay.
That's all we care about.
All right. Who do you want? What do you want, Sal?
Let's run the bet by him.
Oh, the field?
Yeah.
I gave
Howard. Howard's got five.
I want him to trade down. That's what I want.
Five names or the field.
Okay.
And the five names Howard has are Hockenson, Oliver, Christian Wilkins, Andre Dillard, and
Jonah Williams.
The two tackles. So two offensive tackles, two defensive tackles, and Hock. Would you take one of them or the field?
I'd take the names.
You take the names. I think it comes
from one of those five than anybody else.
Okay.
And again, this is not taking into account trading down, because if you trade down, correct, all these guys could be off the board.
So that's right, but even if they trade down, I think you could get one of them.
Oh, still, you think?
Yeah, because I don't know how far you want to go.
Yeah.
Are you going down to
13 to 15,
right? I mean,
yeah.
Not all those guys are going to be off the board by 9.
Right.
Right? I mean, you were going to get one or two of them off the board maybe, but things start happening there. Other guys start falling. Once you get past like 10... even 9, I guess, with the Bills, suddenly there's a name that, they must have really liked him, right?
Yeah.
And then somebody jumps up and, wow, they Greedy Williams or Byron Murphy suddenly goes, or Brian Burns from Florida State. We didn't expect him to go top 10 or 11, but that happens in the draft.
Yeah, and I think, I don't know how you'd be able to study this or quantify it, but I bet once you get past a certain level of talent, maybe it's the 8th pick, the 12th pick, it becomes best player available is a lot closer, right? The top 5 picks are, well, these guys are blue chip studs. Once I get to 13,
yeah,
the needs become a little bit more specific for these teams. The team, the holes aren't as glaring. Maybe there is a hole, but it's a very specific hole, a guy that fits in on a defensive line or an offensive line for a team in the mid-teens.
No doubt. It's like, it's simple math, right? I mean, if you're picking second or third in the draft and there's an amazing player, even if you don't think it's a need, right, you take him because he's a great football player. But as you go down, Jeremy, that's right. Once you get to later in the first round, especially in the later round, you're like, look, most of these guys are a little bit closer in their talent. So we think this guy can come on our field and help us right now. And then that's when you do start drafting a little bit more for need. Now, I do agree with Brandon Bean, and I do think it's right when he says we take the best player on the board, and or we don't draft for need. He doesn't say we take the best player on the board. There's a difference. He says we don't draft for need, and he's right because what he's saying there, again, is we're not going to take a guy just because, oh, my God, we need a wide receiver. So we're going to reach down, take a guy that's not worth the value because we need a wide receiver. What he's saying is we're going to make sure we're going to try and fill a need, but it's got to be a guy that matches our value on the board.
Mm-hmm. Well, but like you said, essentially, last year's two first-round picks were for need. I mean, they needed a quarterback. We knew they were going to get one. And then they see a linebacker. It's not like they didn't need that spot with Tremaine Edmonds and say, hey, this guy's really good. We have an opening there. We could use him.
But again, right away. He didn't draft a guy to play middle linebacker who he had ranked in the 30s.
Right.
That would be drafting for need. The way he is saying it is, I'm not just going to draft a linebacker because I need a linebacker.
Right.
They had Tremaine Edmonds really highly ranked, and he filled a need.
Right. We could use a linebacker. Let's go get this guy who's on our board at the spot.
Correct. That's what he's saying. They didn't just say, hey, oh my God, we need a linebacker. We got to trade up and take the 30th linebacker on our board because we got to have a linebacker. So here's we need a linebacker. And this guy is still on our board. We have him ranked, I don't know, 10th, let's say. Mm-hmm. And we can get him at 16th. I think it's parsing. I think it's semantics a lot of times. We debate it a lot. But I understand that. And what he's saying is we don't want to reach for a position just because it's a need position.
What about ending up with two first-round picks? Is that something that you could see him doing for the second straight year? Trade down, use a pick. Or, well, could he stay at 9 and then still trade back in? Do you think there would be two first-round selections tonight for the Bills?
I think it'd be tougher to stay at 9 and do it. I could see them moving down and then doing it. I absolutely have always thought it's a possibility in this draft. They don't need the 10 picks they have.
Yeah.
And I wrote about that, you know, in my column this morning, which is they don't need all 10 picks. Even if they trade down and make it 12 picks, let's say. At some point, the remaining 11 have to, I think, become part of what you do to move back up.
Yeah. The biggest problem with trading back into the first round is that it's gone from a savvy move to the move that everybody's eyeing. So the value, the cost is probably higher than it used to be.
Yeah, that's right. And because of the fifth-year option, everybody wants to get after that. There's no doubt. And, you know, anytime you put first round attached to that, the thing that scares me about trading back into the first round is, and last year they did it at 16, so this wouldn't apply to last year. Teams never have 32 first-round grades. They don't. There's no draft in which there's actually 32 first-round grades. Most teams, most boards are going to be 20 guys. 22 guys have an actual first-round grade. So once you get down into, past that area, even though if you say, I'm trading back in the first round, chances are the guy you're taking, well, I shouldn't say that. He could have a first-round grade. But you're probably really thinning the field on who actually is a first-round talent. Now, you might still have that guy, and that's why you do it. The reason you do it is, hey, we only got 20 guys at first-round grades. 18 have gone. Two are still sitting there at 23. Let's go get him because it's still the first round, and by the time we get to the second, he won't be there.
Right. Or you could, you know, if you don't have anybody graded properly, you could try and move up from 40 in the set, maybe get a little higher in the second round. I don't know if that's as big a deal for them. But depending on, as day two opens up, where their board is, who's there, is it possible they have a guy that they would try and move up a few spots for?
Yeah, and, you know, I'm with you, I think, Jared, when you write, if they trade like next year's high assets.
That's the only thing.
Don't do that. I'm not for that. In fact, I'm for the opposite. Get next year's high assets. I'd be totally fine. Here's one thing that I've thought about. Let's say the Bills make a move from 9 to the early 20s, maybe mid-20s. Would you rather have next year's first or a second this year? I'd rather have next year's first.
Who am I trading with?
Mid-20s, I don't know.
Yeah.
You want to care? You care about the team, right?
I want to know, I expect them to come back a little bit? You know, in terms of whether or not a GM ever cares about that, who am I trading with and where are they? Real quickly on this, think about the Sabres trade with the Ducks. It was conditional on the Blues. They were going to get the Sharks pick unless the Blues got hot, and that became above the Sharks pick. And that's a GM betting on a team where they're going to finish to some degree. So teams do factor that in.
So let's say Oakland at 24.
Oakland. I'll take next year's first. Yeah.
You're going to
Philly at 25, though.
Philly at 25, I'll take their second this year.
Gotcha.
Seattle's got two picks in the 20s, 21 and 29. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I want a team where, I guess I would say only this, I want to have fun with it. If I get Oakland's first next year somehow, which I don't think they would give up, I get to have a whole year of
rooting from a radio broadcast standpoint. It's
well,
totally
not just
different.
That, but you know, for Antonio Brown, for Bills fans that are mad at him
right.
and want it to blow up. Now I've got even more reason to want that to blow up.
Yeah.
So yeah, if it's a team that I can reasonably think, well, what if I could get the third pick and also the Bills pick? Then that'd be a little more fun. But I understand what you're saying. You know, this year's second, next year's first. There's a case to be made for either.
And they're basically valued the same amongst teams. That's the way teams value it. A pick in this year's draft is worth the same plus around next
higher.
Year. Yeah, that's okay. Right. That's right. That's how teams view it.
Let's get some calls in. Sal's with us here the entire hour, and he'll be, of course, on the draft coverage tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday. Dennis in Williamsville, you're on with Sal here on WGR. Go right ahead.
Hey, guys. So I know that there's been a little bit of talk of, you know, the Christian Wilkins thing, moving back for Wilkins. My concern with really any of the Clemson linemen is kind of what happened in 2006 when, you know, I know it's always back and you got to kind of work with these guys on their own accord. But, you know, Mario goes first and then Manny Lawson goes a few picks later. And then the Bills move back up in the first round to John Carlo. And when you look like drafting an entire team's defense,
I think we're getting the general point, though, that Clemson has enough talent. You know, are you falling into a trap where you overvalue someone when in reality it's their supporting cast that's doing the work?
You know, what's funny is, so when I put out my latest mock and I had Christian Wilkins, one of the big theme of responses is, please, no more Clemson people because of Shaq Lawson and Sammy Watkins, Ray McLeod. I don't know, right? Okay, my point is they've done that, right? The Bills had all these Clemson guys, and I want to say that's the dumb reason not to want a guy, right? Because another guy at a school didn't perform well. But this caller, it's not what he's saying is different.
Yeah,
he's saying it's the system at Clemson that really helps a lot of these guys, so don't take them. And I do respect that point a little bit, which is, you know what? Like, there are a lot of really good, talented people, and because of that, they take double teams away, guys get productive, and you can kind of fall in love with what you see because they're there every week. I was on in Syracuse with Brent X the other day, and I brought up Christian Wilkins, and he said, Sal, I watched him terrorize Syracuse for a couple of years. Like, I know exactly what this kid can do, but you're right. I mean, because Cleveland Farrell is there, and Dexter Lawrence is there. I don't dismiss the point that caller made. I do dismiss the point of, well, other Clemson guys didn't work here, so that means somebody else isn't going to work here. Because guess what? DeAndre Hopkins is pretty good, and Deshaun Watson is pretty good, and they went to Clemson, and I'd be okay with them on my team.
But you look at it, too, with the NC State example. Like, Mario Williams had a good career. I know it didn't end well here.
Yes, he did.
He had 97.5 sacks in 158 games. That's really
McCargo
good.
McCargo was just a reach.
McCargo was not good, and it's Manny funny. Lawson was somewhere in between those
Manny
two.
Manny Lawson played 143 games. I mean, he had a career.
Right.
He was fine. So, but I think the point is, I think we understand the point. Just, you want to be aware. You want to believe that your team is able to isolate that. Here's a great example of that. Johnny Manziel or Mike Evans, right? They played together, and they both went in the first round that year, and there were some that said, hey, I don't know about Mike Evans. Johnny Manziel made Mike Evans. There was very much an argument that Mike Evans made Johnny Manziel.
Mm-hmm.
So what you want is you have your team's ability to separate those two and say, no. Mike Evans is good with anybody. It's not just because Johnny Manziel was the guy throwing the football.
That's right. We got a little bit of that going on this year with the whole Rashawn Gary, Chase Winovich thing, right? I mean, like, Rashawn Gary was not nearly as productive as people think he should have been in college. Like, you watch him play and you're like, this kid, he has every athletic trait, the size, the speed, but where's the production? Where's the numbers? And then someone says, well, look what they do at Michigan. Like, the way they run their defense, everyone kind of eats a little bit. And that's why Winovich gets more opportunities, but he's not quite the athlete. And then I look and say, but I watch Winovich play, and I think he's a really good football player. So I think you have to try and separate that somehow.
Sal here in studio. We're taking your calls at 803-0550. Steven in Washington, D.C. You're on with Sal here on WGR. Go right ahead, sir.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Just a quick question. So, you know, during last year's draft, there was a lot of, I guess, people saying, I don't want this guy. I don't want that guy. I don't want to trade all these picks away. And this year just doesn't seem like there's a scenario that will get people upset, and I'm wondering if for you guys, if there is a situation or a scenario where you would just lose your minds and say, no, why would they do that? Because it feels different this year. It feels like they've filled some holes and they know what they're doing, and you're going, yeah, I'm kind of okay with offensive line, defensive line, tight end, wide receiver. But is there a situation where you go, nope, I don't want that to happen?
Yeah, I would actually bring up one, and you mentioned the name earlier, Sal. I don't need a cornerback at 9. You mentioned Greedy Williams, who's a good cornerback.
Yeah, I don't think he'd be a Bills flavor, though. He's not very physical
at
all.
But I think they'll take Byron the position Murphy, at some point, but I wouldn't take it there.
Steve Palazzolo of Pro Football Focus has the Bills taking Byron Murphy at number 9, a corner out of Washington.
I wouldn't be happy with a cornerback at 9. I just think you have so many other areas you could address with a really good player at 9. Cornerback is not one of those areas.
What I'm hoping that they do is draft a player where the ceiling, or the contribution ceiling, I suppose, is the highest. And that's why anybody that wants TJ Hockenson, like, I'm into that because of what could he be and what could a tight end like that contribute to your team. If I go get another cornerback, I might have the best corners, the best secondary in the league.
This guy could start. Like, sure, the guy you draft could beat out E.J. Gaines, yes, Levi Wallace, and Kevin Johnson. I don't want it there.
At some point, I guess I would wonder, would Bean and McDermott look at what they've done in their secondary and said, I mean, we drafted Trey White in the first round, but past that, we've been able to find guys that can do they can do well.
Look at Teron Johnson, fourth round.
Whether it's EJ Gaines who played well,
they've done a nice job. And even at safety, right? I mean, come on, they have Hyde and Poyer. I always do that.
Right.
They have Hyde and Poyer who have been fantastic on very cheap type of contracts compared to their production, basically, and what they mean to that defense.
I guess the question is, do they think they've been fortunate to be successful in finding the other corner? And would they say, let's just get another one so we don't have to think about it for about 3 years?
Well, it
would be a little bit of stability that they're looking for. Am I going to hate it? No. I think the caller's point is it's going to be difficult for them to make people mad.
Right.
Running back in the first round would make people mad.
I mean, you trade down even and go, oh, Josh Jacobs, we need someone to take over for Shady. No, please don't do that, right? That would be bad. All right, so I wrote these 10 things I think at the website, 10 things I think about the NFL draft. And number 8 is, and some of these are Bills related, some are just other teams or player related. But let's talk about corner for a second, because I want to go back to what you said, Howard, about, you know, they found guys, they have guys they've signed. This is the reason why I still think it's a sneaky need, and I wouldn't be surprised if they do something in the second round. Levi Wallace had a nice year last year, undrafted free agent, but totally needs to get bigger, needs to get more physical. He's just not strong enough at the point of attack. He's not strong enough defending on the ball or in the run game. But I like his game, and I'd like to keep him here, you know, and see where he can develop. They signed Kevin Johnson and E.J. Gaines. A, though, they're both only signed to one-year deals. The draft is not about 2019. That's the one thing people, I think, always seem to get caught up in. Well, we need this, we need that. The draft is about the next 4 years. What do you project your roster to be in 2020? These guys might not be on the team. But other than that, between the two of them, they played 7 games last year.
Right.
Taron Johnson missed 5 games last year with shoulder surgery. Unless you're totally confident that all those guys stay healthy, and you should not be totally confident that that's going to happen, you're going to try your hardest and hope that happens, you probably have to find a young guy you can put under contract for 4 years.
Yeah, but, and if you're thinking about 4 years, what am I projecting for 4 years? The positions that jump out are defensive line, because they're not young there. And I want to say receiver, but I'll just go anything on the offense. Whether it's, you know, the pieces they've added in free agency from a tackle and receiver standpoint are stop gaps.
Yeah, those guys are on short-term deals.
I looked at it. Most of them, it was either 1 or 2 year deals for most of those guys.
I've got stop gaps. Can I get a receiver with a 4-year contract and a 5th-year option that I can get a lot from late in the first round? Like we said, we don't think it'll happen at 9. But Hockenson, too. You know, what do they have at tight end? Some nice pieces, but nothing really locked in. So
this is where the running back discussion comes into play, right? And I've maintained, running back is, I'll say it again, I've said it many times, sorry, you've heard, I'm a broken record, a year-to-year proposition.
Sure.
In the NFL, you can find running backs who step in and do a nice job. Tell me what your quarterback is, tell me what your offensive line is. You do not need to draft a running back today to take over for LeSean McCoy or somebody else in 2020. You can find that guy next year, you can find that guy in the street, you can find that guy in the draft. You don't have to do that. It is not a position you groom, quote-unquote. It's not the way it works anymore in the NFL at running back.
Yeah. I think the whole discussion, too, before I get to Steve here, I think the whole thing about, you know, Sal, your point is right. You can look at immediate needs, but that you wouldn't be talking about edge rusher. You would look at it and go, well, Shaq's here, Hughes is here, Murphy's here. What are you guys talking about? Well, in 2 years, they could all be gone.
That's right.
I don't think that'll happen, but it's, you know, they're all two guys are going into the final year of their contract. The other guy's got 2 years left, and he was just injured. So you would look at edge rusher in the bigger picture and say, this is why you might want to add somebody
this
there
is why
down
you
the
don't
road.
Draft, quote-unquote, for need.
Yeah.
Because you take good football players because the draft is about finding guys who you can put on your team. They're going to help you for the next several years, not they're going to help us in week 13 this year.
Let me ask you one thing.
Which you'd love that to happen, by the way, yeah. Of course. I'm not saying you don't want them to.
Any concern for you? Christian Wilkins is 24?
He is a little older.
I was thinking about this. By the time Tremaine Edmonds finishes his first rookie contract, he'll be how old Christian Wilkins is now.
That's amazing. Oh, wow. That is amazing.
Right? Yeah, 19 to 24. Yeah.
24, I mean, how many you could draft him in the first round and say, whatever, we get 5 years out of him. Then he's 29. How many years out do you forecast?
I don't think at that position for this team, assuming, you know, Sean McDermott stays here and, you know, he's running the defense, that's a rotational type of position. He's not going to have a ton of miles on him. You know, I think you could play at that level. But Christian Wilkins is a solid football player who also, by the way, is very intelligent. Master's degree in 3.5 years. We talked about that. I think he would take care of his body enough. But that's an interesting discussion. Like, he is a little bit older. But I don't think, you know, he's not Brandon Whedon.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It might be the kind of thing it's a good problem to have. Like,
right.
5 years from now, if we like him, we did well in
yes,
the draft.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
803-0550 to join us. Steve in Watertown. You're on with Sal here on WGR. Go right ahead.
Good morning. I love this day. Draft is coming. I just got something caught in my crow. I never thought the Clemson football program translates to the NFL at the same level or a success they have in college. I mean, their best player is probably Brian Dawkins.
Deshaun Watson?
Yeah. What about DeAndre Hopkins
is pretty good.
Well, okay, but that book still has to be written, but DeAndre Hopkins is an excellent pro. But if we go to our own team, the Bills, we've drafted a pile of Clemson football players in the first round and other rounds. Our best player is Jerry Butler, who was an excellent receiver. But they don't translate from college to the NFL like so many other programs do. I don't know. Is it because all the talent that's around there? I don't know what it is, but I love Clemson football.
Do you have a NFL? Just for the sake of it, do you have a team that does translate well?
I think Alabama,
yeah.
No, I think Alabama's had a pretty history on defense with guys. I mean, they come in this league and they're kind of worn out. There's a lot of guys on the defensive side, especially at Alabama, I don't know. I would put them in the same category in a lot of ways.
Thanks for the call, Steve. I think what happens here is the biggest programs put the most players in, which means you're going to have the most instances of that guy didn't do anything. Think about USC quarterbacks, right? I don't want to draft a USC quarterback. USC has actually put the most quarterbacks in the NFL of any school. But because Matt Leinart didn't live up to it, and Matt Castle didn't. People thought maybe Sam Darnold wouldn't. I don't really get too caught up in that. I think this is an extension of the first call we took. Like, don't get caught up too much on a player on defense if he's just part of a cog in the machine as opposed to a game wrecker.
They had a stat on Alabama on Saban. He's been there 12 years. He's had 26 first-round picks in 12 years at Alabama. Now, I don't have a list in front of me to see who's panned out, who hasn't panned out.
I wonder how many Pro Bowlers in that mix.
Don't know. Have to look that one
up. I've got Alabama right here listed. Here you go. I mean, Mark Barron.
Well, yeah, he's been on his like third or fourth team. He's a nice player.
Yeah, he's had an okay
career.
But he
was drafted in the top 10, right?
Yeah. Minkah Fitzpatrick, DJ Fluker, Reuben Foster, Robert Foster.
Robert Foster undrafted.
Yep.
But, yeah.
Derrick Henry, Mark Ingram, Julio Jones.
But again, none of these guys, they're nice players, right, in the league.
CJ Mosley, you know.
Yeah, he's a nice player. He's a good player. Like, you can't necessarily, I mean, even Reggie Ragland, nice player. Mm-hmm. But where he was drafted, a lot of these guys from Alabama, they come in the league. Marcel Darius, he was a very nice player, but a lot of times they're beat on at Alabama because of the way they run their program. They come in kind of like pros already, and I think that kind of wears them out a little bit earlier in their careers.
I wouldn't, you know, to the initial point about, I mean, you're going back to Clemson players taken in the 1970s and the 80s. It has no bearing on me.
No, exactly.
And
I
again,
mean, Dwight Clark went to Clemson too. He's pretty good.
Yeah, I just think I think it wouldn't have any impact on what I would be doing in terms of the draft, yay or nay. Conversely, if like Ohio State's had a gazillion players since 75, I just wouldn't look at the history. I evaluate the guy on who he is,
and this,
how he's played, and what is he doing? How does he fit into my organization?
Right, and it's constantly changing. It used to be that air raid quarterbacks don't translate.
Right.
Well, so much for that.
5'10" quarterbacks don't translate.
Right,
5'11"
right,
quarterbacks don't translate. By the way, can I tell you a secret? When I was a kid, I wanted to go to Clemson because they actually had good football players like Jerry Butler, who was my favorite wide receiver and player in the Bills. The reason I wore number 80. I want to go to Clemson because Jerry Butler went to Clemson.
I will say, I went to Clemson this year for the Syracuse game.
And you
game.
Loved it.
I loved it, and everybody was so nice that you shouldn't say bad things about their players.
Oh, well, look at you.
I get it.
Everybody was so nice.
I think it's because you're both wearing orange.
We were wearing Syracuse gear.
No, I know.
But they're nicer to you if you're wearing the opposing team's gear.
I totally believe that.
It is incredible.
So you never got that scholarship to Clemson?
No, I never got the scholarship to play wide receiver at Clemson.
You walked on at Syracuse
instead. That did not happen. Right? That's right. Yeah. I was excited when the Bills drafted Perry Tuttle because of that, but he definitely flamed out.
Yeah, that's right. There's another Clemson guy. 803-0550 to join us. What? Sal is here in studio. We're talking everything NFL draft with you this morning on WGR.
I can say their facilities are amazing. Just put that out there. They feelings, the facilities are top notch. You know, they scheme great, fits me. They need a three technique, so if it's me that they call on, hey, I'm coming. They obviously missing a guy there. A guy just retired. He was a great. I would like to actually watch his film and see how he stayed around so long. But I think I can come in right away and step up to the plate and play. They have a unique situation where a guy retired and they actually need somebody to come in and play right away. So that'll be a blessing.
Ed Oliver. I want the Bills to draft Ed Oliver, so my bobblehead and bobble horse that I've got in my my sports lounge is of a Bills player.
Oreo.
His horse, Oreo, the University of Houston for Heisman Trophy marketing stuff, whatever. Just like, hey, here's Ed Oliver on his horse, Oreo.
And he was standing on the horse, too.
No.
For like a,
not for the bobblehead. But
No.
He has taken pictures standing on his horse.
Yes. Yes.
I don't know if he gets to 9, but if he does get to 9, he has to be very high on their list. Mm-hmm. I would think, right? I mean, that he just kind of checks off everything they need in this position here.
Sal Capaccio in studio with us. Howard's.
I did not see the goal last night, Jeremy. Was
Which
it
one?
A good
the
goal?
Carolina goal?
Yeah, I went to bed after the... I fell asleep after the first overtime.
It was a good goal. Here's Howard. He walked back in.
Yeah.
Yeah, Justin Williams, a pass to the front. Brock McGinn tips it in. A nice goal. Double overtime. Carolina wins. You know, all four divisional winners knocked out in the first round. I did pick this one.
Yeah, unfortunately.
I told you.
Well, I think the pass from Justin Williams was much better than the actual goal itself.
Right,
just
he made
float pass, and McGinn just, all he had to do was just get the stick down and tap it in.
Carolina on to play the Islanders. You've got fun Carolina and boring Islanders, and you've got Columbus and Boston on the other side, so... Playoffs continue. Boston gets no rest. They're right back to it tonight, 7 o'clock against the Blue Jackets. And Dallas-St. Louis is tonight at 9:30. The Amerks get swept out of the first round. 3-0. They lose to the Marlies 3-1. The term being thrown around, Brayton, you can tell us. Snake bit? They deserved a better fate than getting swept out of the first round?
Yes, okay. Most certainly.
And because I did fall asleep at around 11 or shortly after, I didn't realize that the Yankees erased a 5-0 deficit, 1-6-5, Howard.
That's 6 wins in a row?
The lick he just gave me? If that's the way you looked at Jonathan when he was younger and did something, he would never do it again. He's still doing it. That's amazing.
Howard,
that is amazing.
The Mets are...
We're going to need the dump button.
Real quick, can we just check in on the Mets? You're still at the point where you like them.
Yeah.
Okay. It's April 25th.
Hey, we're almost at May 1st, and I'm still happy about the baseball season. That's good.
Good.
I just want to know, how are you winning with half a roster?
It's the Yankees. It's the mystique. It's the culture.
How bad are the Angels that they got swept by a team with half a roster?
Culture. We don't even have last names on the back of the jerseys because it's all about team, okay?
Yeah, right. I know. Just numbers.
Felicia Legette-Jack gets a contract extension at UB as well.
NHL playoff scoreboard was brought to you by Fiegel and Carr, your border attorneys, and the headlines brought to you by the Air National Guard. Get military training, serve close to home, and protect others all around the world. It's time to take off. Find out more at goang.com/now or call 1-800-TO-GO-A-N-G.
And Vlad Jr., by the way, going up to the Friday. Blue Jays for Friday's game.
That was, Twitter was all of Twitter. Like last night, the big story on Twitter, everybody was tweeting about Vlad Guerrero Jr. going up to Toronto because Jays fans have been waiting to see, you know, with all the buildup, how this kid looks. So Friday, he should be making his debut.
Draft in Nashville tonight.
So what happens, what are some of the things you think of note could happen before the Bills are on the board that can affect the Bills at 9?
Okay, so I don't think the Raiders should draft a quarterback. Okay, but it just seems like there's a lot of smoke still coming out of the Raiders love a quarterback. Mm-hmm. They want a quarterback. Dwayne Haskins is moving up their board. And it's also, they're going to have a shocking pick. Was that Ian Rappaport?
And now
Rappaport's the one saying, ooh, the Raiders have moved Haskins up. So let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. So I'm a reporter, right? It's what I do. I look at it from a different angle. Why is Ian Rappaport reporting that the Raiders are going to make a shocking pick when no one else does? And then he also reports they moved Dwayne Haskins up their board when no one else does. Someone wants Ian Rappaport to know that and put it out there.
Did you see the story?
I mean, that's just the way it goes.
Right. It goes even...
It's Jenny Vrenta's story?
It's beyond that. Jenny Vrenta wrote a story that GMs will say to Ian Rappaport, hey, I need you to tell him...
Or Schefter.
Yes.
That I'm... And they act as go-betweens between GMs.
Right.
So I think what's happening is they are using Ian Rappaport to put out false information because there's something else they want to do. I mean, it's got to be that. Right. That's what I think.
They have an agenda to create a trade or do something.
Yeah.
It's funny. Yeah. So was Rappaport, like one GM says to Rappaport, go tell this to the second GM. And then the second GM says, go tell the first GM he's full of, he's BSing me. You're trying to get stuff out to help your plan, your agenda, whatever it may be. Maybe the Raiders are thinking, if they say, hey, it's Hoskins, someone's going to want to trade up to 4 and get Hoskins there, and the Raiders can get more picks. Who knows?
It's also, if you take this one step further, it's Brad Ryder tweeted this, and it's an annual reminder. If someone goes a lot higher than you expected, it's only because the last 3 months, 4 months, they've been trying to pretend he's not going to go there.
That's right.
It's kind of, there's no such thing as a reach and there's no such thing as a steal, because if you are a player that's supposed to go 4th and go 27th, that just means that no one thought you were worthy of being picked until 27th.
Yeah.
You'll be labeled as a steal because everyone thought you were supposed to go higher, but really all the draft ends up being is a reaction to the predictions. The predictions are what is wrong. The draft is the actual thing that happens.
And by the way, I don't love Derek Carr, but I put this in my column this morning. Do you know, through weeks from 7 through 15, the second half of the year essentially, he had 12 touchdowns and no interceptions.
Ooh, wow. Second half?
Up until the finale. Okay, he threw 2 in the finale, but the second half essentially. I mean, he played well for them down the stretch, and he didn't even have...
Yeah.
They traded away Amari Cooper. Right? I mean, I don't see why they would do it, but he's Gruden, and he's got to collect all the quarterbacks, so that's because he thinks he's the smartest guy in the room when it comes to quarterbacks. I think that's the theory there, and I like John Gruden, but it doesn't make sense. Let's talk about Kyler Murray at number one overall, because I still think he's going number one overall. There's a lot of debate on whether they should. I don't think it's philosophically, I don't think it's the smartest thing in most cases. However, I'm not going to rip on the Cardinals for doing it, because here's the deal. If you are the Arizona Cardinals owner and you hire Cliff Kingsbury, you're hiring him because of his offensive background and what he can do to cultivate a quarterback and put points on the board. And if you're going to do that, you have to give him an opportunity to take his guy.
Right.
And they simply have a simple decision to make. Do we want Josh Rosen running our offense, or do we want Kyler Murray running our offense? That's it. And the way he runs his offense, Josh Rosen's going to get killed. I mean, it's as simple. He's not a mobile guy.
Right.
So I don't rip on the Cardinals for doing it. Although I'm not telling you, I think Josh Rosen can still be a good quarterback in this league. But I get why a team would say, because you can't say run our team, do everything you want to do, but oh, by the way, we're not going to give you the quarterback you want.
I agree. If I'm Arizona's owner, I'm making. I want to be good. And if I hired you, you tell me the quarterback.
That's
you
right.
Want. You want that guy? Fine. We'll trade this guy. I've got to go all in on that.
It might blow up in their face, but that's what you have to do, right?
And
that's what you have to do.
I think you can make a comparison to the Bills here, because one of the things that I get the sense Bills fans are happy about is Rex Ryan, Doug Whaley was a, do it as we go, not have any sort of cohesive plan. Now with McDermott and Bean, we'll see if it works, but I don't get the sense that It's just kind of see how it goes as it goes. They definitely do have a yearly and a long-term plan. Again, without saying whether or not it'll work or not, that's what this is. That's the buy-in. That's they know what they're looking for. They've got their quarterback. They were planning on clearing the cap. They did that. They signed the player. I just think that that feel to it is different for Bills fans. And if nothing else,
agreed,
that's where the trust comes in for people that have it.
We are talking NFL draft with you and taking your questions, 803-0550. Jets at 3, Sal. So I think most people still think Murray's going to go to Arizona. And then a lot of people are talking about Bosa to San Francisco and now are saying then the draft starts at 3. What are the Jets doing? Are they taking one of the defensive tackles, Quinnen Williams, Ed Oliver? Are they trading out? What would be smart for the Jets at 3? Remember, they have only 6 picks in the draft. They have no second rounder because they traded it to Indianapolis last year. So there's talk about them trying to trade down. What do you think the Jets should do?
The Jets need to trade down. That's what they have to do. They have 6 picks in this draft.
Yep.
And oh, by the way, I'm sure they're very happy with Le'Veon Bell and Jamison Crowder and CJ Mosley. And those are good football players. And they added to their roster. They still have a lot of work to do. They did not add to the offensive line other than they traded for Kalechi Osemele, right? I mean, that was the one guy they added.
They got rid of Spencer Long.
Yeah, I mean, and they need a center. They thought they might get Paradis. They didn't get him.
That's right, yeah.
Right? I mean, they still have work to do. They don't have – who's sacking the quarterback in New York? They don't have a guy. Yeah, so, oh, but that's why you should stay and take Josh Allen, you might say. I say, no, you can still get another guy later, trade down, add to your group. You still need a corner. They have needs, so – if I'm the Jets, I understand. I totally am aware that the Jets would be giving up a premium player in this draft, but they have 6 picks. They're not one player away. They need to add. They need to add to what they're doing. I think the Jets need to trade down in this draft. The problem they're going to have is here. You can't just trade down because we want to trade down. Even if a team wants the pick, you got to get the right value for it. You can't just say, "Yeah, we'll just give it to you," right? Mm-hmm. I don't know if a team's willing to give what it's going to cost to get to 3, because 3 is that's a price.
The hot rumor overnight was Washington, that Washington is making calls to teams inside the top 5 to look into maybe moving up there. Again, I don't know what they're
offering. And here's the thing. Daniel Snyder will probably pay the price that what it takes. And that's what sucks, right? I mean, because I'd love to trade with Washington too, because I think the Bills could get something good from them.
Yeah.
But if Daniel Snyder wants to get to 3, Daniel Snyder will get to 3, because he'll give the Jets, ultimately, he'll probably overpay the price that they want. If he really loves a guy, if he hitches his wagon to a guy and says, that's where I need to go, then that's probably what he'll do. And I think that stinks. Now, again, Mike Maccagnan may say, nope. I'm staying here because I'm getting either Josh Allen or maybe Bosa if Williams goes too.
Yeah, he can get a really disruptive defensive
presence. I can get Quinnen Williams.
Yeah.
So that's fine. And you know what? That's a really good player to have on your team. But the smart move for the Jets is to trade down. I mean, their second pick doesn't even come until the 3rd round.
Yes.
68?
I was going to say 67. But
yeah,
somewhere in the late 60s.
68.
Yeah. Since we're in the division, you also had a note in your 10 things I think about column about Miami.
I don't think they
drafting
should. They should not draft a quarterback in the 1st round. They certainly shouldn't trade up to do it. Which, if they're thinking about that, I'm not sure. You know what they've done? They've done what the Bills did a couple years ago. They made a commitment to overhaul their roster. And as much as we all know the Bills passed on Patrick Mahomes, we could say they should have done that. I think the way they at least played it was the philosophy was right. Even though that maybe the player they had they passed on was incorrect, the philosophy was right, which is, look, we got a guy here in Tyrod Taylor for a year we think he can get us by. Ultimately did. They made the playoffs, right? But we're going to build around what we have and then get our franchise quarterback after that. The Dolphins, again, they're a team that they're probably picking high next year.
Mm-hmm.
So
higher than 13, you'd think.
Yeah, so get some players. Get some players. You've already stripped your roster down. Who's going to walk into that roster right now and you're going to start how can he even develop in that roster? I don't see can Haskins really – he's not going to beat out Fitz, and if he does, I don't know. What are you throwing to? How are you developing? So give him a little bit of cushion, I guess. Get some players around and then go get what is regarded as a better quarterback class next year, one of those guys.
Okay, what about this scenario? What about who? If Kyler Murray is drafted by Arizona and they decide to trade Josh Rosen, Miami's one of 2 or 3 teams that being whispered.
I think that'd be a better choice.
And I'm wondering if that, you would trade for Rosen. I'm assuming they're not going to want to give up 13. Like the Cardinals have been holding out hope for a 1, but people are talking about a 2nd round, a 3rd round pick. What about that? Trade for Rosen and still keep 13 for whatever else. Maybe you give up your 2nd or 3rd round pick.
Okay, so if there's any team that really wants a QB in this draft, trade a second rounder for Josh Rosen. That's great. Mm-hmm. I don't see any problem with that. Josh Rosen was a top 10 pick last year. And oh, by the way, people thought about him as a top 5 pick with all the teams. Could the Bills take him moving up? We knew he wasn't going number one, but there was discussion, right? Could the Jets take him at number 3 last year? People talked about. Josh Rosen is a top 10 pick coming out from 1 year removed who was in a terrible situation. I don't think he's going to be Peyton Manning. But man, if you could get him for a second round pick, why would you not do that if you need a quarterback? I wouldn't understand that theory.
Yeah.
Give me a good argument against that.
Oh, because he's entitled.
Yeah, I guess. If you don't like the player. If you don't like the human.
And he doesn't really care about football. Right. He's thinking about life after football. Right. So why do you want a guy like that on your roster?
Well, actually, that's why you wouldn't give up a first rounder, I think, right? But no, you're right. It would have to come down to if you don't like the person. If you didn't do it.
And you know what? You get him in for a year. You're not giving up your first rounder.
He's got a year experience under his belt.
And if things don't go well.
Right, yes. Right.
But if things don't go well, you could still use your high first round pick next year on a quarterback. Mm-hmm. All right. We'll get a break and we'll get more of your calls. Sal sticking around for another segment. 803-0550 to join us. Sal is going to be all over our draft coverage tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday. 8 o'clock tonight, 7 o'clock tomorrow night, 11 a.m. Saturday. Coverage of all 7 rounds of the NFL draft. On WGR.
Liner line. I'm going to whine about something real quick. Tom Coughlin. So Tom Coughlin made his comments about Jalen Ramsey, right? Jalen Ramsey didn't go to the voluntary workouts.
Yeah, it was Ramsey and one other guy. I forget who it was. Yeah.
So at the Jaguars draft luncheon, Coughlin said, quite frankly, all our players should be here. It's not about rights and privileges. It's about obligations and responsibility. And the question is, can we count on you? Well, that's the thing about voluntary versus mandatory, Mr. Coughlin. The NFL has since warned Tom Coughlin about his comments.
Right?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Guess who's in trouble? You.
That's funny.
It actually is about obligations and responsibility. And contractually, they are not obligated to be there. If they want to go, great. If they don't want to work out on their own and be with their family, that is within their rights, responsibilities, and the NFL has warned Coughlin, and I think that's funny. So there you go. There's
Le'Veon Bell missed voluntary workouts for the Jets.
And Odell Beckham, I think, skipped on Cleveland,
for the Browns.
Yeah.
Look, I think...
It's nice if they go.
Can I at least offer some middle ground here and say, they don't have to be there, and we all shouldn't... Nobody should freak out. But you know what? When you're Le'Veon Bell, it'd be nice to be there.
I don't disagree.
Like a veteran guy, whatever. Kyle Williams didn't want to show up, whatever. But I think if you go to a new team, plus, I mean, a big signing, a huge trade.
Yeah.
And you've been out of football for a year.
Yep. Show up to the first meeting, whatever, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, so if I'm a Jets fan, I'm like... Yeah, I mean, he doesn't have to be there, but
it'd be nice if he was.
This guy sat out the whole year last year. It's not like he's tired.
I agree with that. In the case of Jalen Ramsey,
he's been there, right?
He's great. He's fine. Show up when you're supposed to. I have the list of the top 50 jersey sales from March 1st last year to February 28th this year. NFL players, the top 10, gentlemen. Let's do some instant trivia.
Jersey sales from last year.
The last calendar... Not actual, whatever. You know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Last football season, the 2018 NFL season.
Until
February 28th
it's
of
the
this
league year.
Year.
Okay, so it's like
before
the
Beckham trade to the Browns.
Correct.
Because that matters.
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right.
So I will say this. Of the top 10, there are only two players that that either changed or became a part of a different team. The other 8 already there.
Well, easily, Baker Mayfield is near the top of this list.
He is 12th.
Wow.
Oh, come
on.
Not in the top.
I guess not easily, Sal.
I would have put him in the top 5. No, I'm with you. That was my first guess, quite honestly. So,
there is one rookie.
Patrick Mahomes got to be on here somewhere.
He is.
There was one rookie.
Saquon Barkley.
That's
the
rookie.
Oh, there you go.
I wasn't counting Mahomes. Yeah. He wasn't on a new team. But you're right. Mahomes 5, Saquon Barkley 6th. Top 10 in jersey sales.
Sam Darnold.
Not in the top 10.
Tom Brady.
There are no Tom Brady number 1.
Still?
Yep.
Who didn't have a Brady jersey?
I know.
How can he be number 1?
Number 1.
Khalil Mack.
Number 9.
It's New York.
There's your new player.
Well, Odell
player,
is still
team.
On there, but he was a Giants then. It was a Giants jersey, right?
Beckham was 13th.
It's newborn Pats
I'm bad
fans.
At this game.
You know what it is? It's baby jerseys. It's newborn
stats.
Pats fans.
I'm bad at this game.
Put it this way. It's all quarterbacks except for one.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
Number 7.
Ben Roethlisberger.
Not in the top 10.
Philip Rivers?
Not in the top 10.
He wouldn't be. Derek Carr.
Not in the top.
Deshaun five. Watson.
Deshaun Ooh, Watson like is it. Correct. Number 8.
A Lamar Jackson?
No.
No, no. You said there was. Yeah,
hold on. Think the biggest fan base in the world.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Dak.
Dak Prescott.
Oh, shoot, yeah.
So one is Brady, two is Prescott. You have Mahomes and Barkley, 5-6. You have Jared Rodgers Goff. And Deshaun Watson, and you have Khalil Mack.
You're How about Zeke Elliott?
Number 4.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. There you go.
Think biggest fan.
You're missing yeah. number 3 and number 10.
Hmm.
Todd Gurley.
Todd Gurley's outside the top 10. He's
both quarterbacks.
He's 14.
Still both quarterbacks. Yes. Oh, okay.
Both quarterbacks.
I don't think Josh Allen touches this list, right?
Josh Allen is made Could the top 50.
Oh, okay.
He right. finished 48th. Right ahead of Matt Ryan, by the way.
Jared Goff.
No. There is an old quarterback and a relatively new quarterback.
Drew Brees?
Correct. Number 10. Huh. And a relatively new quarterback.
Relatively.
Relatively.
Marcus Mariota? No.
No, but you're in the right age.
James Andrew Winston?
Luck. 1 year off of that.
Andrew Luck.
Cam Newton.
Carson Wentz.
Carson Wentz.
Wow.
Which is whatever. Surprising. Wentz is 3. So your top 10, Brady, Prescott, Wentz, Elliott, Mahomes, Barkley, Rodgers, Watson, Khalil Mack, and Drew Brees. And Josh Allen makes an appearance here at 48. He's the only member of the Bills on this.
Surprise, surprise. All right, let me get another call. Sal, we're going to have to pay you overtime for sticking around for this call, but you're worth it. Tom in Lackawanna, thanks for holding on, and go ahead with your question for Sal.
Yes, Sal. Not really a smokescreen, but how much, how valid, I'm sure there is something with his heart, but he was allowed to participate in a combine. Somebody who had some heart condition last year wasn't allowed to. Where do you think sweat is on being healthy and worth the gamble and could turn into a superstar?
Not for me, for the Bills. I think that's just too risky. But I do think it's a team-to-team proposition, right? I mean, he is a super productive guy from Mississippi State. He's a very, very good player. I think that if I'm going to pick a guy at 9, I think that's a little too much for me to risk and think that especially because the position seems to be pretty deep and there are other guys there, I don't think I can take a guy that has this issue that I have to worry about. Unless now... all of my doctors got to see him, talk to him, clear him and say, this is nothing. Someone put this out there. It's really not a big deal, which has happened before, right? I mean, we've seen that. But this is a team-to-team thing. He will be completely off some teams' boards. He will be in the top 10 on other teams' boards.
Last thing.
I wonder if teams have an off-board board.
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
Rank all the guys in order? Off our board.
Yeah, you take Montez Sweat or who was the caller was about? Was it about
Sweat? Sweat?
Okay,
yes.
But who's the other guy? Rashawn Gary.
Rashawn Gary. On the board.
You take a name, right. You say it is off the board, and you put him over on the off board board
rankings,
and then you get into the second round and think, let's take a look at that off board board.
But you're right. You have a separate grading session. Okay, yeah, guys. Like, now let's grade the guys not drafting
in case of emergency. Mm-hmm. It's the third round, and no one's taking Montez Sweat.
I know.
Put him back on the board.
Could be. Is there a now? Is that off? Board that would include injuries, character issues.
Yes. You wouldn't, everything.
You wouldn't have its own character issue board on its own, like an injury board and then a character issue board.
You could do that.
Like
sure.
A red flag character issue board.
Color coded. Yeah.
Yeah. Yellow flag, red flag. Green, yellow, red. 3 boards. Yeah, this is fun. All right, Sal. So you're going to cover the draft the next few days? You thinking about it?
Yeah, I think I could squeeze it in my schedule.
Right. Okay.
What do you think about that?
So you'll be living at the stadium for the next 3 days?
Yeah, down there. It's cool. It's fun. Get to see all my media friends. It's packed in there. We're all watching it just like everybody else. Everybody's doing their own little thing, working stories. Should be fun.
Well, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, guys. I'll be ready.
You know what, Sal? You're on tomorrow at 7. This way I won't screw it up.
Thank you. That's okay. I got it. I'll file it away.
Sal, brought to us by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? You'll be happy tonight if what happens, Bills fans. You can join us at 803-0550 as we talk NFL draft all morning with you on WGR.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.